Have your Bible. Turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. I tell you, when the anointing gets in the house like this, it's just really uncomfortable when you got a when you have a message. I'm amazed at people who really don't understand the anointing. They think it's something that gets on you to tingle you and make you feel greater. But the anointing of God is the weight and glory of God. And when it comes upon a person, it's a sobering deal in my life. I want to make sure that the best of my ability that I deliver that which is proper at this time. Anybody can preach, and we got sermons we could preach any time. But this is not just an any time season. This is a real, real, real important season. Last week we talked about divine purposes. Divine meaning God. Godly purposes. What is your purpose in life with God? That was last week. Today, we're kind of going to build on this thought, divine thinking. Thinking like God. Thinking, going to be a quiet one, but that's okay. I don't know how much you're going to shout on this one. Brother Jeff mentioned that we're boat builders. He said that we're building a boat. That's just something that God brought to us years ago, and we said often that we are like Noah. We're building an ark for the saving of our household. Whether you realize it or not, every one of you are building a boat to float. It's going to rain. In Noah's day, the rain was water, but in there's coming a day when the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light will clash together, and there will be another rain. Amen. But it won't be a rain of water. A rain of judgment. And we want to be on the boat. How many of you want to be on the boat for the saving of your household? Amen. Everybody has to build his own boat, too. Philippians 2:12 says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Even though it's a work in you, you have to work it out of you. That's a good thought. I'm not preaching on this. I'm getting lined up for Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. That verse 12. Work out your own salvation. Build your own boat for the saving of your household. Mama can't build it for you. Daddy can't build it for you. You have to work out your own salvation. Even though it's a work in you, you have to work it out of you. Let me say that one more time. Even though it's a work in you. Most people stop right there. They got the God part. God works in us. When we're saved by grace, not of ourselves, it is a gift of God. That's God. But then you got to work out your own salvation. Work out. Say out.
Out.
Everybody do this. Work out.
Work out.
Probably a good sermon to preach that this morning. Work out.
Work out
your own salvation. Even though he works in you, you got to work it out. You got to build your boat. Turn and tell somebody, you got to build your boat. Because there's a storm coming. And we are those who build upon the rock.
Yes.
That was just a warm-up. I might be going that way. Work it out. It's easy for us to sit around and let it work in us. But that's not working out your own salvation. Say, work in.
Work in.
Then work out.
Then work out.
All right. Wow. Mercy. Let me pray. Father. Wow. Wow, 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 Lord. That's wow. It's so good, Lord, to be able to hear you. To be in your presence. good for you to speak to us through song and praise and worship, through music. Oh, we are blessed. We are blessed. You are truly in our presence. And so, Lord, we give our mouth to you, Lord Jesus. Not religiously something we say, but as a ready writing pen to give a word in season, in this season that we're in. Thank you, Lord. You make us worthy. We rest in you alone. To be worthy to speak of your goodness and grace. When the writers of your word, Lord, pen down the word of God and translating the precious word of God. It's been said that when they got to the word Jehovah or any word that referred to God, they laid their pen down and went and took a bath and came back and wrote your name.
Yes, Lord.
Woo!
Thank you.
May we respect you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
May we raise up a people who gather in your name and respect your name.
Yes.
That when at the name of Jesus, that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. I believe you're raising up that kind of people where we gather together that no sickness could stand above that name. No demon in hell could stand above that name because it must bow at that name. So we bow at the name of Jesus. Greater is he that's in us than he that is in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. Wow. Yeah. Philippians. Is that what I said? Man. Philippians chapter 2 verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you. One of the critical areas that we have to deal with in this season of supernatural breakthrough in what God is trying to say us is in the area of the mind. It's important that we have to understand we have to take an intentional approach to change some of the thoughts of our mind. If we are people who want to live in breakthrough, then we're going to have to change some thinking habits. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
And we're going to have to be aggressive in that area. Some folk think we can live in hope that God's going to do something with our thinking. Maybe if we get enough of the Holy Spirit, maybe if we'll be around enough praise and worship, turn on the record all day long, listen to worship and praise all day long, sit in the church service 3 or 4 hours, that's going to change your mind. Now it may give you somewhat thoughts. It will definitely change your emotions and your part about you that our human nature is made to react to sounds and worship and praise. Surely it will lift you up. But nothing ever happens until your mind thoughts, things in your head change. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, tells us, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. As a man or woman thinks in his heart, so is he. How you think is going to determine how you're going to be. Now, we read this often. We have preached on it often. I'm drunk, so just give me a minute. I'm leaning a little bit. That's all right. All right. If God can use a chicken, he can use a drunk man. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. The way you think determines how you will be. It's simple. It's so simple, but overlooked most of the time because we are, like I say, we want to change everything without changing the way we think on things. Whatever you think about yourself determines how you'll treat yourself. Amen. If you think lowly about yourself, you won't clean up. If you think you're of no value, what's the use to clean up? What you think about God determines what God will be to you. See, it ain't what God wants for you, it's what you'll let Him be to you. And we get in that a little deeper in a minute. God has a plan for all of us, but will we let Him be? Will our mind accept change? I mean, our whole world has been talking about change. And there had been a lot of change. But how much have we as God's people understood the importance of change in this season that we're in? There's no way to get around it. No way. Simple. I can stop here and just go home. Until you change your mind, nothing changes in your life. And that's why we have to be aggressive about our mind and the thoughts we think, because there's no power on earth or in heaven that can change that. Only you can change the thoughts of your mind. They can give you a pill that'll help you with it. But when you come off the pill, it's right back where it was before you took the pill. Now, there's an antidote to that, and we'll get to it before we get through teaching. But the mind is our responsibility. Church has nothing, well, I say nothing, it does because we preach the word, but religious stuff, penance, anything by works does not change anything. But when you change your mind, say change your mind. Let this mind be in you. That's what the Bible says. When you let the mind of Christ be in you, you begin to change. See, you can change a lot of things, but it won't stay that way until you change the way you think. There's a very delicate relationship between mind and truth. Truth is the way it is. But the way you perceive it determines if that is will be part of your life. Amen.
Amen.
Let this mind be in you. Let this mind be in you. When John the Baptist came on the scene, when Jesus came and began to preach and bring in a new kingdom, a new order, a new season, John the Baptist said these words, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That word repent means to have a change of direction or a change of mind. So you can change your actions. You can change your actions and never change your mind. But if you change your mind, you will always change your actions.
Yes. Amen.
You can change your actions, let me say it again, that it won't change your mind. But if you change your mind, Your mind will always change your action. Because I don't know if you know it or not. Well, I don't know what you know, but I know you're all smart enough to know this. You can't do nothing unless your mind tells you to.
Right.
Without your brain, it won't work. Turn to tell somebody, that might be, what's wrong with you? No. Without the brain, it won't work. And they have yet, think about it, they have yet. Yet, all the doctors, the people that work in that area, have yet to find out all the things that your brain can do. You just can't get to all that your brain can do as of yet. Yeah, no, it won't work. You can't be Dr. Frankenstein and put another brain in somebody's body and it act right. Frankenstein didn't act right, right? No, it's your brain. And the way your life is the way you thought it would be. And I always say that in this teaching. If you don't like the way you are, who are you going to blame? Brother Jeff Brain? Thank God I don't have his. Amen. Say that with me. You. Your thoughts, your patterns, the way you've been, what was put in you. It's a mess. It's really, if you think about it, it's a mess. If you really want to know where heaven and hell, I'm not into this and I'm not preaching this to the doctrine, but if you really want to know where heaven and hell is, it's between your ears. You can live in heaven in your right now, or you can live in hell right now. It's between your ears. It's not on the outside of your life. It's not who you can blame. That don't work no more. That don't fly no more. That don't work no more. People don't care about your problems no more. They got their problems.
Yeah. Come on.
Amen.
You have gotten yourself right where you got yourself. That's plain. And if you want to change, start changing some patterns that you got from what that person you talked about on the offering. Aunt Sally, Uncle Joe, Grandma Biscuit, Papa Cornbread. I don't know what the name was. But ever since you were born, people have emptied into you. Thank God some of it was good. Some grandmas were good. Some grandmas taught you the Word of God. But there was other grandmas that were dope grandmas. I can't help it. But that don't sound right. But there's a generation of grandmas on the earth that dope at it. We don't. Our generation didn't even know nothing about that. So you got to understand, we're a mess up there. The mess is not out here in most cases. The mess is up here. It follows you everywhere you go. Because if you don't change this, it makes no difference what happens out there. You'll never see it. You'll never rejoice in it. You'll never really take part in it because your picture's being made right between those ears. Powerful thing. Let this mind. Whoa. Let this mind be in you. That's in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody said, well, I'll just stay like I am. I like the way I am. Well, God has a problem with that. Don't turn there. I'll tell you when to turn. Revelation 3:16 says, so then because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Lukewarm is when the hot and cold is in the same position, kind of. One may be a little bit more than the other, but it's in that same position all the time you make lukewarm water. My house is set up, might be wrong, but if I turn both of my knobs on, I flirt this on my laboratory, sink. What's in the bathroom? Laboratory? Sink? I thought the sink was in the kitchen. It don't matter. I told you I'm drunk. In that thing, you run water up? And I shave. If I turn both of those things the same, all the way open, I have lukewarm water. I won't get burnt. I won't be cold. Just right on my face. Say, just right on my face. Some men like cold water all over them. I don't. I like lukewarm water on my face. You want to know that about me? I'll give it to you. Lukewarm water. So you're not either lukewarm, you're not fully on the cold, you're not fully on the hot. You're just like in the middle. And God says, if you're in the middle, just lukewarm, just average, just old Joe, just continue as you are. God said, I can't do nothing with you. It's like spewing you out of my mouth. That's what he said. So that's what God said. Turn with me to John chapter 6. I'm taking this slow because they want to hear me. You got to hear this because this is what changed your thinking. Thinking divine. Let this mind be in you. Wow. Well, I don't think I've ever got as much out of preaching as I have in the last few months. I honestly could stay up here, and I know I got a clock back there. I'm conscious of it. But I'm not, no problem preaching till Jesus comes. The everlasting gospel. I appreciate these guys yielding their anointing because all of them could, in the drop, if I encourage them, that's why I sit there sometimes like I don't feel God because I don't want to encourage, I want to preach that day. I got a message. If I just said, boo, they gone, man. And when they gone, I don't get to preach. So, you know, I thank you guys. Either one of you can preach. Pam can get over there and go at it. Worship could go on all day long today. Amen.
Amen.
John chapter 6. See what we receive from God. Here it is. What we receive from God in between those ears. What we have up there. What we receive to God is based on what your mind is. Where your mind is at. You know, we think that God chases us down and force feeds us with his intention for our life. Look what Jesus said in John chapter 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you. This is Jesus, the Word. John 16, 12. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. The word bear means, in the Greek, means to endure, to declare, sustain, and receive. Jesus said, I can't tell you what I want to tell you, the Son of God. I can't tell you what I want to tell you because you can't endure it. You can't sustain it and receive it. The Amplified says, I still have many things to say to you, but you are not yet able to bear them or to take them upon you or to grasp them now. Their mind wasn't ready. They could not grasp what God was saying unto them. That's why the Bible said, let this mind be in you. They couldn't bear up what the Word God wanted to give them. Paul talks about it in 1 Corinthians when he says to that church, I would have fed you with meat, but I fed you with milk because you're unable to bear it. Because there was envy and strife and jealousy. See, God don't just pour himself out on people. God don't chase you down. Didn't you read the book, God Chasers? That's exactly what it is. You're to chase God. He ain't running all over the place. Well, he couldn't keep up with us. Yeah, chase everybody down. Those who seek the Lord. If you're hungry and thirst, you seek the Lord. Those that seek the Lord, they're hungry and thirsty. Shall find him. Seek the Lord while he might be found, what the Bible says. So Jesus couldn't give them what he wanted to give them because they couldn't grasp it. Their mind was not ready to receive. Your mind is a powerful thing. It's powerful than God. Well, thank you for those amen. It's more powerful than any service you could ever be in. You've got to do something with your mind. Say, I got to do something with my mind. It's about my mind. It's about my mind. Say it again. It's about my mind. See, you can't ever get what you're not able to grasp. There's no force feeding in the kingdom. When I had a daycare, my sister-in-law worked for us, and me and my wife, I was a cook, and my wife did the top floor. We had a two-story daycare, and the bottom floor was babies. And And one day we had somebody watching the babies, and my sister-in-law worked for us. She always watched the babies. We brought her up to the top floor, and it was lunchtime. And we have kids up there, and you know, some kids won't eat English peas. You ever try to force feed a child English peas? Mm-hmm. So, you know, she thought they were babies, so she gets the spoon out. Before I could tell her, he don't eat English peas. I can tell you what I didn't get to. I would have told her, you put them peas down, everything in that's coming up. But she said, he's going to eat peas. Before I could tell her not to, there went the peas in the mouth, and the peas and the macaroni and everything that was in there come all out on the table. She tried to force feed him. See, God ain't going to force feed you. He's not chasing you down to put something in you. You've got to be able to bear it. And the only way you bear what God tells you is to change your mind about some things. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Since we're in a new season, we got to understand, in a new season, God's going to teach us new things. In a new season, God's going to teach us new things. What was in that season won't work in this season. It's not that it was wrong back then. It wasn't wrong what my mama, my daddy taught me, my intermediate class taught me, or nursery class taught me, or all the preaching I was in all those days, even a year ago. It wasn't wrong. It wasn't bad. It just wasn't for this season. A season is a new day. A season is a new time. Let this mind be in you. We got to be on the page that God's on. Do you understand that? I put it in simple. You got to be on the same page. You ever asked anybody, you on the same page? They asked me. My wife knows she's got to get me on the same page, because I'll have to be in another chapter down the road talking about that chapter when she's in this page. I mean, if you live long enough with a husband and wife, you're going to find out when you get a certain age, you both can be talking, and you think you're talking about the same thing, and after a while somebody will say, what are you talking about? Anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, we've made decisions based on different programs, different chapters. Well, you know I said that. I said, I thought you were talking about something else. She'll tell me all the time, don't you remember? And I say, did I respond back to you? I don't remember. I said, well, two remember. No, what, you don't remember? I don't remember. We sure can't fuss about it. There ain't no fussing no more, because neither one of us can make sure we said that. Hey. Got to be on the same page. Tell somebody. You got to be on the page God's at in this season. We've missed seasons before. We've missed seasons before. Many of you missed seasons before because you wouldn't change the way you thought about it. You thought God was going to do it this way, that way, with that person, without that person, and God had His own way. If I'm not mistaken, I think we're supposed to follow God, not God follow us. Right? I got that right. See, you got that right. What we was taught prior to this season is not what God wants us to know. Simple. It's a new day. Listen to this. John 15:15 says, henceforth I call you not as servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Hence, this is a season of henceforth. This is a henceforth season. It means we're no longer there. We have henceforth. We have gone forward. Say gone forward.
Gone forward.
We are no longer servants. We are now friends. Oh, this will bless you. One of the most popular songs that sung in the last year or so is the song that about friends. I am a friend of God. Why in the world wasn't that written 20 years ago? Because our thinking would not let us be friends with God. I know that's a divine song. It's sung all over the nation. We've sung it here and still sing it here. It's still anointed. It still brings a sense of worth to you when you think about it. You can be a friend, but in the Bible, this has been here 2,000 years. He doesn't call us servants anymore. He calls us friends. And friends share secrets. Servants can't. Friends share secrets. They show sides of themselves to one another that they show to nobody else. Get a hold of this now. I'm talking about God being your friend. He couldn't show himself to the servant. He's showing himself to the friend. Here's the deal. Amen. If you're my friend, I'm going to be myself with you. If I be myself with you and it embarrasses you and you say to me it embarrasses me, then I owe it to you and to myself not to be myself in front of you. I have a very few in my network that can handle me. Now don't throw you stones. You have your own friend. They can handle you. There ain't nobody can handle everybody in here. You can't be everything to everybody, man. You won't have a life. You'll be some lizard. What do you call them, lizard? Turn different colors. You're not lizard, you're a human being. Friends are able to share with one another different sides, and if you're sharing your side with somebody and it upsets them, then you know that they're not really your friends. They're just an acquaintance. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
And if you can't handle me, I owe it to me and I owe it to you, because somebody's going to get all upset eventually not to be your friend. I can love you. I can walk by you and say hello to you, but I can't take you out behind the woodshed and be me. Because me will just tear you up. I want you to listen to me. You know why some folks are closer to God than other folks? Get this now. It's not because they're sinless or they don't sin as much as you do. They probably sin more than you do because they're going to be who they are. But they're close to God because they let God be who He is. They don't have no hang-ups. I don't have no hang-ups with God. I have hang-ups with people. I don't have hang-ups with God. I have seen God just tear the floor up. I have seen Him tear up my theology. I have lived long enough to tear up my whole life. Whether you want to say, like the psalmist said, you know, I came in naked and I leave the world naked. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I fought through all that. I've been through all, you know, the Lord giveth, the Lord taketh away. I've been through all the things about all that. I've learned to just shut up and let it be. Let God be God, and if it's taken away, He'll give me something better. Just let Him be God. That's my friend. He's not going to hurt me. He's not going to harm me. He's out for my life to be better. He knows. I know what's thought towards me is to bring me to my end. He's not to harm me, to hurt me, to take from me. He's a blesser. But if all these things happen, I'm just going to let God be God. He's my friend. He's my friend. I don't have time to sit down with people and they say, well, why did this happen to Uncle Charlie? I don't know Uncle Charlie. Well, you please tell me why this happened to me when I was... I don't know why. But I trust my friend. Did I let my friend be himself? Because if I don't let him be himself, it's a harm to him, it's a harm to me that we have fellowship. Just like you, I hang around those I can be me. I hang around those that celebrate my life. If you can't celebrate my life, well, I'll get you a hamburger, we'll set up for a moment, and we'll eat. But if you're going to go to Longhorns with me, or you're going to go out with me, it takes an hour or two, or be in the car with me, it takes a whole day, you're going to be my friend, and I'm going to be me. And if you can't handle me, hitch a ride somewhere. Hitch a ride somewhere. I'm too old. I've been too much on the earth. My wife tell me, be quiet. Don't say that. I can't live that way no more. They take me who I am or none at all. They already telling me when you get on TV, you're going to have to spruce up. I ain't sprucing up. I'm going to spit and I'm going to cuss like I do and I'm going to do all these things. So don't you worry about me. Don't you worry about me. You worry about you. Because they're going to be a cramped camera sitting out there looking at you too. We're going to zoom in on you. Watch the crowd disappear. Watch the crowd disappear now. We probably will make fun of you. I'm telling you that. I mean, we got to laugh at something these days. They laugh at me. They got all my names and all. Chad got all, writes down everything I say. Don't you think I know? Dad, you introduced a new word today. That's all right. I get paid for doing that. I'm going to be me. And God's going to be God. And I give you a word of wisdom. Let him be God or he ain't going to be with you. He ain't going to hang with you. He said, I would have told you so. But you can't grasp it. Let this mind be in you. Turn and tell somebody, I got to change my mind about a few things. I hear God right now from heaven. Just if you close your eyes and think about it, God hollering out, church, church, people, my people. If you can't understand this, ask somebody, but I can hear him say, just let me be me. In this season, let me be me. Because if we've never seen it, we've never heard it, we never felt it, we don't really know about it but by faith, how in the world can we expect God to do this or that? I'm out of the ordinary. Because he's extraordinary. See, we're so ordinary, we don't know what extraordinary is. Right? We have to talk in $1,000, you know? And some of you, if you had $10,000 in the bank, you'd think I'm the richest person in the world. You realize $10,000 won't take you very far. You can't even buy hardly a new car for $10,000. $10,000 ain't no money these days. Well, when I retire, if I got $10,000 in the bank, I'm okay. $10,000 won't get you first year. You've been unspending. You got so much time on hand, you'll be eating out. It won't take long to spend $10,000. God's in the extraordinary. He don't even number. God don't number the money. He don't care how many cars you got. We do. What do they need another car for? What do they need that big old house for? It ain't but you over there, Pam. You don't need that big old house. It's just little old you over there. But God said you need it. Y'all get quiet now. Get quiet now. Well, look at that. Look at that. Look at that. And all the time you ain't letting God be God. God said, I ain't coming to your house. I come to your house. You live in that old shack the rest of your life. That's what you want. Keep talking like that. You live in that shack. But if you say, glory to God, Sister Pam, the Lord has truly blessed you. I'm so glad he blessed you. I rejoice in your blessing. Amen. Oh, I'm preaching. I'm having a good time. Am I doing all right, Miss Penny? You all right? We know this scripture. Let me read it. Romans 12, verse 1 and 2 said, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The only way to be good and acceptable unto God, in the sight of God, is not to be conformed to the way the world thinks, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. See, here it is. Holy Ghost people said, I just need another shake and rattle and roll. You know what that, you know, need another message in tongues. And I speak in tongues more than you all, so I'm not belittling that. I'm using the illustration. Just another touch of God will change my whole life. But what does Scripture say? Transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. Matthew 15:6, Jesus said, the people have made the commandments of God of non-effect because of their traditions. Traditions are habits and customs of your mind. It is the way you do things. We've always done it this way. We'll kill a church. And listen, women, it'll kill your marriage too. Oh, I shouldn't have said that. Never mind. Throw that out. Get that off the tape. You put it anywhere you want to. Jeff, what you looking at, Jeff? Probably could say, the women probably could say, you just an old, just, you do things the same way. Listen, you spice up your marriage by driving down a different road and smack a kiss on that woman at the stop sign like you did when you really thought you wanted her. Then after you got her, you don't even go to the stop sign. Full steam ahead. Full steam ahead. All that kissing you used to do. Oh, honey, forget that. Come in. I'm ready. Am I preaching a marriage thing here? It's true. True. It's funny, but it's true. Now, I've been out of commission a little while. I have, in the last few months, been out of commission. I haven't felt good. And I found out by wisdom, hallelujah, what my problem was. As soon as I stopped that problem and stopped that thing, my body just come in line like a newborn babe. Penny can tell you, I could barely walk around the block. The dog and her left me. They had a, are you going to make it? Do I need to go get the car? I mean, I couldn't walk. I couldn't sit. You know all the problems I had with my back. And I found out it was something I was taking in. Yeah. And so when I stopped taking it in, everything went away. I said that to say, all right, Mama, we fix to make some changes now. Let the dog stay under the bed, please. That don't mean nothing. Y'all put it where you want to. Y'all the one got the bad mind, not me. Wow, I'm drunk. Hey, listen, here it is now. Jesus said a little different in Mark 7:13, you made the word of God of non-effect because of your tradition. Same, different, but made a little. How much goes on in this wonderful, critical season of our life determines on what you think about it. To get the benefits of this season, we're going to have to learn to control our minds. That's why we have to be aggressive, because the world's saying down, down, down. We're going to fail. The money's going to fail. There'll be no, everything's on the bottom. Everything in the world is in the bottom. And it does surprise me, because in the last days, and I don't preach eschatology, I don't preach about Jesus is coming. I've probably been through so many teachings, so many changes over my life, because it was real, real tight and real, real heavy when I was young, talking about Jesus coming soon, and we sung songs, and I heard revelation teaching on that for many, many years, all my life, 50 years probably or more. I kind of stay back from that because I know it can change. But I'm telling you, I know that I know that I know that I know that we are actually living in those last days. And in those last days, ever how far it may be, I believe in believing hard with myself that I won't taste death. I'll taste what God has for me. I won't go by the grave. I'll say that. But we're living in the end times when it said it would wax worse. Men would be lovers of themselves. And all the world's shaking. You heard me preach on it. But over here, the world's shaking. Over here, the Lord said, I'm filling my house with my glory.
Yeah.
So I know we're at the end, and it is bad. You ain't going to get your info. You can't let your mind be controlled by the world right now. You can't look at Fox. I love Fox. You can't look at even Fox or CNN or your favorite news commentary because they're giving you bad, bad news. So we have to control our mind to know, you know, if the shaking going on, hallelujah, the Lord said that when there be earth and earthquakes and tremblings and for me to do one thing, when all this comes, for me to look up. That's all he told me. He didn't say look at the TV and find out what they say about it. He said for us, when there are wars, rumors of wars, what are we to do? We look up for our redemption. Draweth nigh. We have to be ready. Our mind has to be ready. As we journey together, we have to have a people who are aggressive in their thought pattern. I mean, we can't come to church and judge every little sound and every little word spoken. I'm talking to myself. I can't come here and direct and control and orchestrate. We have to be grown up. We have to grow up quickly. It ain't a time to bring in the third string people or the fourth string people. Even though I think the third string and the fourth string people should play every once in a while, it's the time that we roll up and roll out the big ones, those that have matured and those that have been able to change their mind. And they're not talking about, oh, how bad it is. They talk about what God's saying about this day, what God's saying about this season. And since I said that, I'm gonna tell you what I've done. I got supposedly speakers coming in, and I'm calling them Monday. The Lord has already told me to call those speakers and tell them, you know, it's not a time for you to come because we're moving. I don't know where they're at. It's so critical. It's so critical. I don't know if we're gonna. It's so critical to me. For what I got going on and God's got going on for this place. I don't know about every place. I know about this place. This is me. This is the house the Lord put me on. It's so critical now. We've got to keep the momentum moving towards the mark God's called us to do in this season. And I can't bring it. Bless my heart. I go out to them because they make a living. What I'm going to do is take up offers and send them a check and tell them I get you whenever. But I'm canceling all that because it's so critical that we keep our mind focused and we don't hear this and hear that and go this way and go that way. We've got to go forward. We've got to be aggressively looking for what God is going to do in the next few weeks and months. It's going to blow our mind. I can't imagine what it'll blow somebody else's mind. And I can't be under that pressure. Well, we got to let them preach. Because it ain't all about preaching. It's about the presence. Some of you may be preaching. Who knows? It ain't all about no man, no woman. It's about God. Let God be God. He my friend. He my friend. He's my friend, so I'm going to tell you, I'm taking my offer next week. You need to give, so I got to write two nice checks because these people make a living. They booked up, and you book in advance. I booked some of these a year in advance because you can't book them anymore, but I'm telling you, I can't. I feel for them, but I feel for me and us. I ain't got no time for anybody to talk me out of what God's doing. I don't have time for that. I don't have time for that pressure. I don't. I want us to come in here and let God for once in our life. We all come from different places. We all got hang-ups and situations and cares and problems. I have them. I may not owe nobody, but I deal with problems all the time. When you have one, it's part of me. For one time in our life, let's throw away our ideas. What we've been hanging on, it'd be all right for me. I'm telling you, if you've been hanging on something 20 years that ain't happened, it might be time to bury that thing. It might be time to put it behind you. It might be time to just lay it at the altar and say, okay, Lord, if it's dead, I'm going to help you bury it. And let God be God. So what if God takes you off the pulpit and puts you out there open the door? I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of the Lord than dwell in the tent of the wicked, David said. Wherever he puts you, he will provide for you. And we've been good along this way. We've been good to make pictures that we want. We've made movies of our life. I mean, that's part of life. I'm not saying you shouldn't have a vision. I'm saying we've got to let God be God.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Yes. Yes, sir.
If he wants to bring up a child to give a testimony of priest, we got to back out of the way. We got to put all it behind us and let that child give the message, and God will be God. Agendas won't work no more. I got 10 preachers, 11. I got more now. Counting it's just extraordinary how many have assembled here together. And I see it as a God gathering in end time men and women to be a team to usher in this season that we're in, because we've never seen it. I'm talking about things I have never. I've seen a lot. Pam has seen a lot. Jeff has seen a lot. Brother, all these, and Penny have seen a lot. And some of you have seen a lot. But I'm telling you, we ain't seen this. We ain't even felt it before. What God has right now for his people. Let this mind, I'm going to skip on over. I said, I could preach all day long. Let this mind be in you. I was going to talk about worry. You know where worry comes from? Worry comes from people who won't let this mind be in them. Worry comes when you are trying to control things you cannot control. It's not letting the mind be in you, because the Bible says be anxious in nothing but in prayer and supplication unto God.
Right.
There are areas in your life, my life, you have to come to grips with. You have no control over them. And in those areas you have no control over, that's God's business. Say, that's God's business. That's where you need to let God be God. I'm telling you, it's an open, it's a bad word for it, open game season. I guess in open game season, you shoot anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. I ain't no such thing, I guess. But is there hunters? Open game, you shoot a turkey that day, you shoot a deer that day, you kill a duck that day. I don't think they are. But in the kingdom, this is open season.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. We've got to take the brakes off. We've got to let God take care of some business. You hear me?
Yeah.
We've carried these bricks, these things too long. We have the worst thing you can do, and you need to think about that. Everybody work out their own salvation is try to change somebody else's mind. That's hard work. That's hard work. It's hard work. It's hard work to take a young person and make them see what you've seen now at 50 and 60 years old. It's impossible, but we think we can. We think we can put in them now all that we've learned, all the messages we went through. We're going to make sure they don't make. I'm going to tell you right now, to help you get that worry out of you, God has promised whatever happened, that if you bring up a child in the way he should go, he will not depart. I don't care what it looks like, how bad it is. You can't put your brain in that young teenager. You're going to have to step back, go to bed and pray a lot and believe God and give him the right tools or her the right tools. And for it, don't look at him as some crazy, won't never make it. You look at him, you say, I see God in you. I know you may be doing this, but I'm telling you right now, God probably got his hand on you, probably going to become a preacher when you get old.
Hallelujah.
You can't fuss at them every day. You have to trust them. You don't trust them because the way you were when you were their age. I done got the melon now. Yeah. They might be a little bit smarter than you were at your age. So let them be. I'm not talking about if they, you know, I know you still got to help them. I mean, they can't come down, you know, on a Sunday morning dressed up like they're going some hoochie-poochie somewhere, hoochie whatever, dancing somewhere and got a mini skirt on and a boots on and all that stuff and cowboy hats and walk in the house of God like they look like some, you know, dance. No, you gotta stop them and say, go up there and change clothes. As long as you may have to say, as long as you live in this house, you're going to dress right. You might have to do that until their mind gets right. But you don't have to stay on them every day about every little thing. I'm helping young folk. Help me say amen.
Amen.
I was young once. It's a different ball game back then. I scared of my daddy more than I was God. My daddy knew what I was doing all the time. He's a preacher. Holy Ghost filled preacher. I never lied to him but once. I'm telling the gospel truth. And I had to come back and tell him the truth. And it was the hardest truth I ever had to tell him. I respected him as a man of God. Oh, I'm preaching now. What's wrong with the young folks today? They don't respect mom and daddy because mom and daddy become a friend, not a mom and a daddy. And you leave a church here, like you got your mind straight, and you go home, and then you go nuts and crazy over every little thing. We raising up our kids, they don't respect us. Now you can change that, start acting right. I done got off on another sermon, so I better close. Critical that we're able. How do you control your mind? The Word of God, the only way. What do you do with that 45 minutes you travel to work? To go to work. What do you do with that? 10 minutes. 15 minutes. 20 minutes that you're traveling to work. What do you do with that time? I tell you what to do to help control your mind. Put some word in there. Put the sermon you hear preached in there. And listen to it. Until you can preach that sermon. And then you can change your mind. Because the Word of God is the only thing that will change a person's mind. It has the ability, the anointing, the strength. It's supernatural word. It would have never made it this far hadn't it been divine supernatural power.
Yes, that's right.
Read the book. Don't let it just be something like on your dresser. Pick the thing up. Turn and tell somebody, pick the thing up. Turn off days of your life and look what the days of your life should be like in the Word of God. That's probably outdated. Turn off the games on the computer. Who watches Days of Our Lives anymore? They ought to be dead by now. Then them people messed up. Amen. Get before the Lord. Get in His presence. Go out in the road, in the yard, and just take a stroll and breathe. And like Brother Jeff said, I've seen him when he was dying, not able to breathe. To be breathing is precious. To be walking is precious. To have a child that's not in the morgue is precious. To see one's not afflicted and deformed. And I preached a funeral this weekend. There was afflicted and deformed children. It breaks my heart. When you got one that's even able to fast you back a little bit, I know that's not the precious best thing to be, but thank God you got a child that's normal. Thank God you can walk out. We got a dear sister here that has to be pushed out. Thank God for that. Get in the presence of God and He'll change your mind.
Yeah.
Ain't nothing worth taking you out of God's season. Well, I don't understand that. Well, what's the big deal? Why is that person dancing like they're buck dancing? I don't know. Maybe they got a little more buck in them than you got. I don't know. I've had people, you think I'm crazy, I have people come up and question you. Did you see that person wiggle up there? Well, so what? When we got into charismatic movement, we had to watch. We couldn't even put on black. Black represents something. Who? Yeah. We couldn't bring a white horse in the building. We lost the church over a white horse. We couldn't write. Pam couldn't let God be God. She write plays and we'd have to exit out some of the scenes in it. Divinely inspired by God. Listen, that day's up in here. You try that up in here. You out of here. You go start your own church down the road. Hey, I got a PA. I'll just give it to you. Bless you. Get on. Do your own thing down there. Let general be general. Let God be God. Let God be God in me. Let God be God in the people that get up in here and they praise God. I'm telling you.
Yes.
I can't tell you. I'll be honest with you. I don't even know what's in store. I ain't never seen it. I ain't never heard it. I ain't never been there. People ask me what your vision is. I don't know. I lost it a long time ago. I don't have one. I do know where I'm going, towards Him. My visions took me a lot of places before that wasn't towards Him. I'm telling you. I'm honest, man. I'm honest. I'm an honest preacher. That's why I started 4 churches. That's why I moved 25 times. Taking my journey elsewhere. But it's different. I know He's before us. That's all I'm interested in. If I can wake up in the morning, listen to me, folks. If you can wake up in the morning and feel His presence, you better thank God for it. There's a world out here that's never felt His presence. There are church, there are people in here that look at me when I preach like that. And they say, is He crazy? Is He nutty? You've never been in the presence of an Almighty God. You don't know what it is to get up with Him or not get up with Him. You don't know what it is to move with Him or not move with Him. But I do. And I know He's moving. And I know He's before me. And as long as He's before me, I move 27 times if I have to. I start another church if I have to. I go down the road and sell mud pies if I have to. If I know my Lord is walking before me. Because if I can see Him, just one glance at Him does away with all fear, condemnation, guilt, and shame. You're talking about guilt and shame and condemnation. Those are the people who need to see Jesus face to face. Because once you see Him face to face, you know it's not you anyway. It's Him in you. See, the Father's not looking at you to find you. It ain't about you. It can't be about you and me. It can't be. I've lived long enough to know I can't find no perfect people on this journey. I cannot find people that I think, if I was the judge and God, that I would say, welcome in. That all of us sin and come short of the glory of God. One way or the other, if you stick with somebody long enough, you're going to see who they are. Amen. And I've seen great men, and I saw solemn fall. But I tell you what, thank God I'm not in that judgment. If I can see Jesus face to face, that's all that matters to me. And if he's before me, you better not get in my way. We don't need no judgment in here. We don't need no schism in here. I don't care who it is, from the top to the bottom. You get in the way, I'm telling you, I'm not going to be friends with you. I'm not going to pat you on the back. Now, honey, listen, baby stuff is over. You can tie your own shoes now. You're not in diapers no more. That generation is far gone. We don't need to make sure you're all right every day and work ourselves half to death. What we need to be doing is on our knees praying to God, to see God and who He is in this journey. I'm going to tell you right now, it ain't about my relationship to you anymore. It's gone. That's gone. That's gone. It was the one day I babied everybody. I felt like I had to keep them. Have you ever liked somebody enough that you tried to change yourself to please them? Let me ask you something. When it ended up, they left you anyway. And there you are now. You don't know who you are. Listen. Be mean and ugly or whatever you need to be you. We can deal with that. I cast the devil out if you be you. But if you're trying to be somebody else, some sleuth foot, you're in a dangerous place. Be who you are. Let God be who He is. And we'll have friends. Amen. Y'all got it? I preach the everlasting gospel. Let's stand. Amen. We are on a journey, man.